Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Grumpy Cowboy by Max Munro. Narrated by Tor Tom and Lydia Dornay. Intro. May 8th, Saturday. Circle Dub Ranch, Hollow Rock, Utah. Rhett.
Who's watching Joey tonight, Rhett?
Chase Walker asked from his spot 10 feet away, atop the fence rail to one of the paddocks on his parents' ranch, Circle Dub. We've known each other since we were in diapers and went through school together at only a year apart. But our lives these days couldn't be any more opposite. He's on the professional rodeo circuit, making a living as a bucking bronc rider, and I'm here in Hollow Rock, running my family's ranch, Shaw Springs. I'm a single dad, raising my 5-year-old daughter, Josephine, and he's a single guy with a laundry list of rodeo cowgirls he'd like to work through by the time his birthday hits. Yeah, completely different lives. Still, he's a good friend, and nights out like this for me are beyond a rarity. Sometimes it's nice to let go of all the pressure of being a single father and a boss, and just have a good fucking time. My mom has Joey, I answer. She likes to do a girls' night with her once a month. Something about reminding her that there's more to life than dirt and horse shit.
There is?
Lynn, another bronc rider from the professional circuit, and a guy I've only met a half a dozen times, asks, smiling flagrantly.
Maybe that's my problem. My mama never taught me that.
You've got a hell of a lot more problems than an affinity for horse shit.
Cutter James, a younger bull rider from the circuit I'm hanging out with for the first time, challenges with a chuckle.
According to Mandy Waters, one of them is in your fucking pants.
What?
Lynn retorts.
She said that shit?
Chase and Cutter just laugh and take swigs of their beers.
Who is Mandy Waters?
I ask, and Chase smirks over at me.
She's the exact kind of woman you've been known to despise.
I quirk my brow.
What do you mean?
A rich, gorgeous, perfectly done-up city girl who found her way to a rodeo and had the unfortunate opportunity of getting up close and personal with Lynn.
You've got a thing against city girls?
Cutter questions, and I roll my eyes.
I don't have a thing against anyone. I just have preferences.
And I prefer them to be natural, raw, wild. Women who've never stepped foot on a ranch and spend more time in the bathroom piling on makeup and hairspray have proven to be nothing but fucking trouble for me.
Yeah, but your baby mama Anna is as wild as they come. Certainly knows her way around a ranch, isn't from the city, and look where that got you.
Chase teases, and I can't not laugh. Frankly, he's not lying. Anna is as wild as they come. And our relationship ended with me being a single dad, and her still running around trying to sow a whole county's worth of votes. Maybe me and women just don't mesh at all, I respond, and Chase chuckles.
Maybe you just need to spend tonight with a crazy-ass, nothing-but-trouble cougar of a woman by the name of Donna Dorsett. That fucking woman loves her some rodeo cowboys, and you'd realize sometimes a little trouble is worth it.
Instantly, Lynn and Cutter burst into laughter, but also they nod at me with wide, knowing eyes.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, or who Donna is, I say with a shake of my head. But by the sounds of it, I'm thinking that's a good thing.
You don't know because you're here in Hollow Rock, pissing into the wind on your daddy's ranch, instead of out there on the road with us.
Chase teases with a knowing smirk.
When are you going to grow a set and tell your old man where to shove it? You should have never left the tour.
I laugh. I've spent a lot of years wishing I'd had the courage to tell off my dad and keep riding broncs. But the more time that's passed, the easier it's become to accept. My daughter Josephine sure as hell has a better, more stable life here. And all it takes is seeing her hardly present mama blow through town every 6 months or so to hammer that in. Plus, it's been a decade since I stepped out of the rodeo spotlight, and I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations on my stepping back in has long passed. Not to mention, I wouldn't dream of shaking up Joey's life like that. My daughter is my priority. Always. Chase is still a kid at heart, however, and I'm about as well off wasting my breath on detailed explanations with him as I'd be slicing my own throat. No, to get him off my ass, I simply have to dish the shit-talking back just as hard as he serves it. I don't know.
I retort with a sly grin. Maybe I'll tell him when you tell yours you're out here in the middle of the night riding next year's crop of broncs that aren't supposed to have ever been rode before.
Shit, Chase snorts, spewing some of his beer all over his shirt. I guess I'll just have to wait and see you in hell then. My dad catches wind we're out here, and all four of us will be in the back of a cop car. And I don't know about Cutter and Lynn, but I know for a fact you and I aren't that fond of the law.
He adds as he jumps down off the fence and crushes the mostly empty beer can, tossing it to the side.
You mean the law isn't that fond of us?
I correct. You'd think the way Chase talks, we're still wild, 20-year-old stallions with something to prove. But I'm 36. I'm a responsible grown-ass adult now, with a daughter to think about when I make decisions. But back when I was younger, I made a lot of questionable choices and partook in a number of dangerous exploits. The sheriff knows my first name intimately, and Chase Walker was right there with me more than a time or two. Hell, that's part of the reason why my dad didn't want me to stay on the rodeo tour. There was always some sort of trouble, and like it or not, I had a real way of finding it. It's also part of the reason Joey's mama Ann and I weren't meant for the long haul. I grew up. She didn't. In fact, she's still following the rodeo circuit just like she was when we first met. Most likely, drinking and partying and knocking boots with a new guy every weekend. And the only feelings I have about that revolve around our daughter, and wishing Joey didn't have to pay the price for her mama's immaturity.
Yeah, I guess you're right, Chase agrees.
Anytime I see Sheriff Laycliffe in the diner, he gives me more than a small amount of stink eye. Pretty sure he'd be happier if the tour ran year-long and I never came back home. I don't bother mentioning that at 35 years old pretty soon, he's going to age out of the rodeo lifestyle anyway. Or that he should probably start trying to make a better impression now if he plans on coming back to Hollow Rock full-time. But nights like this aren't the time for serious talks of that sort. I'll reserve the call to reality for an occasion with less company and harder liquor. Nights like these are meant for laughing, cutting up, and shit-talking, which I have no problem doing. Well, the sheriff isn't the only one who prefers not to look at your ugly mug. I smirk. Frankly, I'm thankful for the low-light conditions tonight.
Fuck you, Jameson.
Chase crows, using my last name for added emphasis. Lynn and Cutter snicker from their spots on the top of the fence rail across the paddock.
You're sure doing a lot of shit-talking for a guy who hasn't gotten on a bronc yet. Cut Lynn and I have all been on a couple tonight. What are you, scared?
I roll my eyes at his baiting and take a swig from my can of Coors. I haven't been on a bronc because I'm not an idiot. I've got responsibilities to go back to, unlike the rest of you. A ranch to run, a daughter to raise, that sort of thing.
Hey!
Cutter yells offended, although I'm sure it's on a very shallow, superficial level. There's still a smile on his face and a beer in his hand, and if he'd really taken issue with what I'd said, he'd have already been off the fence and headed my direction at full speed. That's the thing about most of us cowboys. We're hot-headed. Crazy, wild, hair-trigger type of people. If we weren't, we probably wouldn't get on the backs of angry 1,000-pound-plus animals every chance we got.
Come on, Lynn taunts. All I hear every night on the road is the legend of former bronc rider Rhett Jameson. How unbelievably good he is. How natural his fucking seat seems. How I'll never live up to his record. How the women wet their panties for him every time he stepped into the ring. I mean, I'm finally in the old great one's presence, and I'm not even going to get to see you take a ride.
He shakes his head and turns to Cutter.
It all sounds like bullshit to me. I think Chase has been mooning over a figment of his imagination all these years, Cut. What do you think?
Cutter smirks, his big mouth curling up mischievously.
I think you're right, Lynn. I don't see any champions here. Just a big old pussy and his favorite admirer.
They both laugh boisterously, and Chase cuts hard eyes in my direction, clearly more affected by their razzing than I am. It makes sense, though. As of tomorrow, after they leave to head to their next stop on the tour, I won't have to hear any more of it. Chase, on the other hand, will be eating shit until the end of time if I don't step up to the challenge plate. After I consider it for another long moment, the familiar excitement of giving myself over to the power of a wild horse sings through my veins. and the pull of my long-standing friendship with Chase pushes me over the top. Fuck it. These assholes want something to talk about after they leave. I'm going to give them something to fucking talk about. It's been a year or two since I've been on a bronc bareback. But your muscles don't forget something you've trained them to do for nearly 30 years. No, they remember. Even when you feel like they don't. I toss my mostly empty can aside and jump off the fence, into the paddock, and start walking in the direction of the grazing pack of geldings. They look mild-mannered enough from here, but I know for a fact that the moment I toss myself up on their backs, all hell is going to break loose and then some. Chase's dad is one of the biggest, best bronc contractors in the West. He supplies broncs to rodeos all over this side of the country. But this crop here is meant for next year's professional circuit. They're the meanest, baddest, biggest bucking horses the world has to offer. They've literally been bred for the sole purpose of sending cowboys flying toward the earth at speeds much greater than gravity. And yet, I keep heading toward them. There's probably a reason my mama always told me I must have been born with one screw loose. Chase whoops and hollers in the background, telling Cutter and Lynn things like, "I can't wait to watch you eat shit." And, "Both your mamas are about to spread their legs in their beds without knowing why." "Rhett Jameson," he says, "is so fucking good on a bronc, he makes women orgasm telepathically." The corner of one side of my mouth curves up at that last one, because even I have to admit, Chase Walker is one hell of a hype man. The truth is, he's giving me a lot more credit than I'm probably due. It's been almost a year since I've made a woman come, period, let alone with the power of my mind. Since Samantha Holston, my occasional hookup, went and met some beef farmer and got married, I haven't had it in me to troll the waters for a new partner. Scanning the group of horses, I pick through the ones in the front quickly. Two on the left have already been worked over by Chase and Cutter tonight, and one on the right has been subjected to the same from Lynn. Two in the middle look at me out of the sides of their eyes, watching my approach closely, and I study the minute differences in their stances. One, a red roan, and the other, a bay with legs the color of midnight. I have no doubt they're both more of a ride than the average Joe would bargain for. But the bay, in particular, looks like he has the kind of flair that, if being scored, would land me right at the top of the leaderboard. And tonight, after the way Cut and Lynn threw down the gauntlet, he's the one. "Somebody got a timer ready?" I ask, glancing back over my shoulder. Chase holds up his phone as evidence that he's more than just a mouth, and I turn back to my opponent and heave one last relaxing breath. "It's just like old times," I tell myself silently. "Just do exactly what you've always known how to do and don't overthink it." 8 seconds. 8 fucking seconds. Feet soft as a whisper, I move toward the bay gelding slowly. He watches me the whole time, and I know without a doubt I'm going to have to get a hold of his mane as soon as I'm at his side. One step, two, and a final third. I reach out slowly and grab a huge chunk of shiny black hair in my hand, say a prayer, and swing myself up and over his back in one smooth motion. As soon as my ass hits his back, he explodes like a stick of live dynamite. Straight up at first, and then ass over end, he bucks like his one and only goal in life is to put my face in the dirt. Vaguely, I can hear Chase as he cheers with every passing second. Around to the left and back to the right, this bad boy is quick as a whip. My legs chug with the pump of his bucks, and my heart pounds wildly inside my chest. This thrill, it's one of a fucking kind. It's exhilarating in a way I can't describe, and terrifying in a way that makes me want to do it even more. It's a test of mental and physical endurance that only a select few can handle, and by the growing sound of Chase's roars, it seems like I'm still one of them. Hard humps and soul-destroying kicks. The beast between my legs thrashes like a badass, and I tighten my hand in the hair of his mane. By my count, I'm less than 2 seconds away from a full 8. And all it takes is 3 more gyrations up and down for Chase to yell out confirmation. "That's it. 8 fucking seconds. Red Jameson, motherfuckers. Let's go." Allowing myself a smile, I prepare to dismount. watching and waiting for an ideal time to launch myself off and to the side for a crash landing on the ground. Out here, in a paddock, riding a completely unsanctioned bronc, it's not like I can sit around and wait for a pickup man to come get me on his horse. The only way off this fucker is from his back to the ground, and timing it right is the difference between getting fucked up and not. One buck turns into two, and I listen to the sound of my bronc's breath. He's huffing loudly, becoming more and more agitated the longer I'm on his back, and I'm approaching the window where if I don't get off him soon, at any angle and trajectory of my choosing, he's going to make some decisions of his own, ones I'm not likely to enjoy. Committed to letting go at the bottom of the next jump. I wait for his next buck to cycle, and then release my grip on the coarse fibers of his mane. Unfortunately, thanks to the imperfect terrain of uneven paddock ground, he hits bottom before I'm expecting, and jars me into the swell of his back. As a result, when he bucks again, with my grip already released, I make my exit, with little to no control over the angle and descent of my body. With a snap and a pop, I hit the ground directly on my left knee, driving all the weight and force of my ride right into it, and sending a crack through the air that breaks all the previous calm of the dark night. "Shit!" Chase yells as I roll over, and blink through my body's attempt to check out of consciousness. The agony in my leg is real and potent, and I know without a shadow of a doubt I've destroyed more than a little something inside of it. Vaguely, I hear the sound of three sets of boots hitting the dirt and pounding toward me, and I hold on to the cadence of each of them as a way to keep my heart from pounding all the way outside my chest. Overcome, I turn my head to the side and get sick, right there on the grass next to me. "Fuck, fuck, fuck!" Chase chants as he slides to a stop like he's stealing home plate in baseball, and puts a supportive hand under my head. "My leg!" I manage to croak, clammy sweat dripping from the skin above my top lip directly into my mouth. "It's not good," I continue, forcing myself to speak through several heavy swallows. Chase nods. "I know, buddy. Cutter's called an ambulance. You just hang tight, okay?" My head jerks in the affirmative, and I lick my lips against the searing, mind-numbing pain. "I guess your daddy's gonna know what we've been up to now." Chase nods. "I know. I'd tell you off. But I'd say the fact that my dad's not the only one who's gonna know is punishment enough." Damn straight. My dad, Tex Jameson, is going to have my ass for breakfast. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he lets whatever's broken in my leg heal, just to break it all over again himself. I carry far too many responsibilities on our family's ranch to get injured and be out of commission for an extended period of time. "Fuck. Look at it this way," Lynn remarks from above me. "At least Cut and I know Chase wasn't full of shit all this time. Red Jameson can ride himself a goddamn bronc." Cutter laughs. "Fuck yeah, he can. It's the getting off that's the problem." I want to laugh, but at the thought of what this is going to mean for running my family's business, Shaw Springs Ranch, over the summer, my pain hits an absolute pinnacle, and I pass right the fuck out. I can only hope God takes pity and sends some sort of an angel to solve my problems. One thing's for sure. I'm gonna need one. 1. June 7th, Monday. Shaw Springs Ranch, Hollow Rock, Utah. Rat. I tuck the crutch tighter into my armpit and circle Huck's hindquarters with my free hand on his ass. My daughter Joey follows, watching as I do my best impression of a one-legged man. It's been just shy of 4 weeks, and 1 2-hour surgery, since I injured my left leg, and the first three of them were spent almost entirely in bed. All thanks to a patella fracture and patella tendon tear, or as I like to call it, a totally fucked up leg. For a man like me, that kind of inactivity just about made me lose my mind. My leg may not be any better than a 2x4 right now, but I'll tote the fucker around painstakingly if it means I can start to find some goddamn normalcy again. "Come here, darling," I tell my daughter, shoving the stool closer to Huck with the edge of my huge leg brace. "You climb up, and I'll hold his head."
"Okay, Daddy,"
Joey replies. Her blonde pigtails bob from side to side as she flashes a grin my way and steps up onto the stool. She proceeds to give Huck a pat on the neck and grabs onto a piece of his mane like I taught her. Joey has been riding since the time she could walk, and frankly, does it better than a whole host of the guests we see come through our ranch on a yearly basis. But she's still my baby girl regardless. I don't worry about myself. Haven't even considered a possibility other than making a full recovery from this shit. But riding in an ambulance in the middle of the night and going in and out of consciousness the whole time feels a lot different as a father than it did as a professional bronc rider. Without Joey's mama in the picture, it's up to me to be everything she needs and then some. And knowing I let my ego lead me to decisions that make that harder to do is a difficult realization to come by. Joey settles into the saddle and shoves her tiny boots through the stirrups, anchoring on the balls of her feet to give herself leverage. Huck is a big horse, nearly 16 hands of brute muscle. But he's smart, too, and he knows to treat riders like my Joey with extra care. Okay, darling, go on and give him his head, and get on out to the arena. Walk, trot, and canter. No running, you hear me? Joey looks down at me with a toothy, mischievous smile, and I narrow my eyes. No running, you hear me? She tilts her head to the side.
Like, no fast running?
No running at all.
Not even a little running? Like, just a little faster than a canter? You'd hardly even know the difference, really.
Joey, I said no running. Period. End of story.
This story is pretty boring,
she mutters, and it takes everything inside me to keep a straight face and not laugh. I swear, some days my daughter is 5 going on 18. Josephine Jameson, that's enough sassin. I give her a stern stare, and finally she rolls her eyes back at me and nods.
Fine. No running. Promise, Daddy.
Good. Now, Miss Sassy Pants, I'll be out there with you in a couple of minutes, and if you keep that promise, I'll let you go buck wild for a little bit. I offer, making the apples of her cheeks lift to the corners of her eyes.
Yippee!
She exclaims, and all I can do is grin. There's no denying that, when it comes to being adventurous, my little girl is a bit too much like me. I slap Huck on the butt, and he walks off with Joe, out of the barn hallway and around the corner to head for the arena. Alone in the alleyway, without a horse to lean on now, I struggle to make my way back to the stall walls and pull myself up to take some of the weight off my good leg. My injured one is locked straight in a brace the size of this fucking ranch and aches like a son of a bitch. It's sore all the time, and the pressure of the blood pooling in it feels like a thousand tiny needles. But I'll be damned if I'm going to lie back down in the house, or take any of that fucking pain medication Dr. Namath keeps pushing on me. I open the stall door next to me with a hard shove and hobble inside with the help of my good leg and my crutch. Hey there, sonny, I say to my personal horse. He's quick as lightning and about the best at herding cattle I've ever seen. But he also has a need for more exercise than the bombproof geldings we put our guests on. As far as I know, Ronald and Tiny, two of our ranch hands, have ridden Sonny a few times since I got hurt. But for my painted boy, that's not nearly enough. What do you think? You want to go for a ride? I ask him. I'm not sure how, but there has to be a way to get myself up on his back if I try hard enough. I grab his rope halter off the door and hobble back to slide it gently over his head. He gives me no trouble, clearly just as eager to be out and moving as I am. With his attached lead line in my hand, I tuck my crutch under my armpit and limp back into the hallway with Sonny in tow. I drop the lead line, and he stops immediately. On a ranch that's over 2,000 acres, it's really important that our horses learn to ground tie during their training. When you're out in the middle of nowhere, camping overnight while gathering cattle, there's not always something to tie off to. And the last thing you want is to wake up and find out your horse left your ass there to walk. The grooming brushes are in a container on the floor of the hallway, and with a locked-out brace, that's a bit of a problem. I turn back to Sonny and smile. Guess you're just going to have to be dirty today, bud. He huffs a puff of air out of his nostrils, and I take that as his agreement, leaving him to stand in the hall and working my way over to the saddle pad and saddle in the tack room. I'm walking back out the door when a voice calls out from behind me.
Rhett, What in the hell do you think you're doing?
I close my eyes and sigh, not bothering to turn around. What's it look like, Tiny?
Looks like you're about to strap yourself to a doomed rocket ship like in that movie Armageddon.
Armageddon, I correct with a roll of my eyes, and finally turn to face him. The movie's name is Armageddon, Tiny. If there's one thing Tiny, one of our oldest ranch hands, is really talented at, it's giving his own pronunciations and names for things. And oddly enough, he looks a whole lot like Steve Buscemi, one of the actors in the very movie he's trying to reference. With his small frame, big eyes, and a slightly crooked mouth, if we tossed a cowboy hat and some dirt on Steve Buscemi, he and Tiny could be twins.
Well, whatever, he says. That one with Bruce Wills.
Bruce Willis, I correct with a nod. I know the one.
If you know the movie, then why the hell are you trying to recreate the ending?
I shake my head. I'm hardly sacrificing myself to an asteroid, I contest. I'm taking my horse for a ride in the arena with my daughter.
I have to say, I don't think Tex would like this too much.
I don't care if Tex likes it, I say with frustration, tossing the pad and saddle up on Sonny's back. He's my daddy, sure, but Tiny, I'm a grown man. I can make my own choices.
Don't really seem to me like you're acting like you're grown. What happens to the ranch if you hurt that leg even more and end up back in bed? We've got a whole lot of shit coming up. Guests for the summer, hosting the 4th of July extravaganza thingamabob. I know I'm pretty, but you're the face of this place, son. Without enough, I explode. If you don't want to watch me do this, go somewhere else, all right?
Tiny shakes his head and backs away slowly, turning and leaving the barn with a scowl. My chest rises and falls with the overzealous clash of emotions going on inside it. The battle between what I want and what I'm expected to keep in mind is violent and tumultuous. In these days, it feels a lot like it never ends. The weight of responsibility on my shoulders is heavy enough already, but with the addition of my injury, it's becoming awkward to carry. But I'll be damned if I'm going to give up my freedom. And I don't give a fuck what my doctor or Tiny or my dad or any fucking one has to say about it. 2. Tex.
Tiny, I swear to God, if you walk past my door one more time without getting your ass in here, I'm gonna go nuclear.
He jumps at the sound of his name, and walks at double the speed as he steps inside my door and closes it behind himself. The good thing about getting as old as I am is that your reputation means something. And Harry, Tiny Minnow, has been working on my ranch for long enough that he knows I don't make idle threats. I don't say something unless I mean it, and I always follow through. To run a ranch of this magnitude, it has to be that way. You need thick skin and a quick mind, and you need to be ruthless when necessary. There are always a million and one problems to be solved, and everyone is looking to you to solve them. It's a big responsibility, but it's also a huge honor, and it has been for the last 50 years, the pride of my life. But I'm getting old. I'm pushing 70, and I'm ready to retire, ready to spend some time with my wife and play with my granddaughter. But I can't do that until I feel like my son is ready to step up to the goddamn plate.
What's the problem?
I ask, not bothering with any preliminary bullshit.
Problem? Who says there's a problem?
Tiny says like an asshole. I rock my neck back and forth and sigh.
Your eyes say it, for fuck's sake, I retort with a narrow gaze. You look jumpier than a damn jackrabbit, more than usual. You think I can't tell when there's a problem just by looking at you?
Tiny nods, licking his lips nervously.
Okay, fine, there's a problem.
But when he doesn't expand further, a deep sigh slides through my lungs.
And what is it? What is what?
Tiny asks. Dear God.
The fucking problem, Tiny? Oh, right.
He answers quickly with big eyes.
I saw Red out at the barn earlier this morning.
He rambles as quickly as his slow draw will let him.
He was getting ready to saddle Sonny. Son of a bitch,
I mutter, sinking my head into my hands. Tiny nods enthusiastically.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?